Hey everyone, Ron Brooks with CRA Partners, powered by the Senior Housing Crime Prevention Foundation. Our mission is to provide protection and an enhanced quality of life for vulnerable senior housing residents through meaningful turnkey CRA compliance for community-focused banks. As a wholly owned subsidiary of ICBA, CRA Partners offers a turnkey, low-risk Community Reinvestment Act compliance program established to create safe and secure living environments for the elderly with help from local banks just like yours. We have helped hundreds of community banks across the country protect residents of low-income senior housing facilities through our trusted Senior Crime Stoppers program. To learn more, go to shcpfoundation.org. And now, the CRA Files. Thank you so much for coming back for our October episode and October edition of the CRA Files. I am your host once again, Ron Brooks. I'm the Vice President of the Midwest Region with CRA Partners based here in Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm excited for today's guest who's joining us, who has just a tremendous background. I'm really inspired of the background that our guest brings today and the great insight that we're going to be looking forward to. And this is from Linda Izuka, who is the founder of the CRA Today and the CRA Hub. Linda, thank you so much for joining me here on the CRA Files.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
Excellent. Well, let's jump right in because we've got a good bit to talk about with all the great work that you're doing that's so community-based and makes such a difference for such a diverse demographic of people. But before we get to that, you know, Linda, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your pathway to where, to get to where you are today?
Well, sure. So I started my CRA journey at a large bank back in 1994. Okay. I had really the great fortune to work with and under the leadership that I'm still honored to call a best friend today of Kelly Walsh. Kelly Walsh spent a lot of time in community development and leading the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco's Community Affairs Department. And she joined a large bank that I worked with, and she recruited me into her compliance department. So Kelly and I navigated the changing regulation, because in 1994, when I started this work, it was really the old outreach provisions of the CRA, and very different from the regulatory framework that exists today that thankfully is more performance related. Sure. But we had so much fun forging relationships with community development partners like local nonprofits and philanthropic entities. We implemented new community development initiatives for our local community by creating individual development savings accounts for low-income people. We helped establish our CDFIs in our local communities. And then we even got our bankers to try some new things like making equity-like investments in CDFIs and so much more. I tell you, 15 years ago, I switched to direct CRA consulting, where I've had the great privilege of working with a wide variety of banks, both large and small. I love CRA and love helping bankers master the technical aspects of the CRA so that they can move into the great work of forging partnerships with within their local communities to leverage capital and resources for further impact. It is that work that makes me most proud of the work that I forged before. And those relationships I hold most dear today were from those partnerships and those activities.
Wow. I mean, wow, that is incredible. And I just love the pathway that you took and the community-based approach that you have. And I can hear the passion in your voice, right, about how this work really fulfills
that inner passion that you have for helping other people, essentially, and doing that in our great banking industry. So tell me a little bit about the CRA today and the CRA Hub. I'm very curious, and we have some mutual colleagues that speak just extremely highly of the work that you're doing, just to say the least, Linda.
And, thank you.
We'd just love to hear more about, you know, again, the CRA today and the CRA Hub.
Sure, it's my pleasure. So I created CRA Today to help bankers really master the Community Reinvestment Act, but also to transform communities through the power of community and economic development. So CRA Today offers consulting services, training, and our newest venture, the CRA Hub. I'm most excited about that right now because we just launched late last month, and it's a newer initiative. And I created the CRA Hub to serve our CRA professionals in the field, to support them with training opportunities and a way to connect with their fellow colleagues in between the great industry-led conferences and the roundtables that exist today. The CRA Hub fills a gap in our market, I believe, that we don't have the peer-to-peer and practitioner-led training opportunities that, you know, that I feel are needed as we bring the next generation of CRA officers and professionals into our banks and into the workplace. So basically, I created the resources I wish I had back in the day doing this great work day in and day out.
Of course.
And exactly right. Yeah. And the CRA Hub offers this private portal of video trainings and guides and resources. The CRA Hub members also get to come together every week, and we take deeper dives into the monthly core content. We ask questions with some Q&A sessions, and we really have created this this group of fellow professionals, and we all share and support each other in our respective CRA journeys.
Wow. Justin, I mean, like I mentioned to our audience, I mean, just incredible to be able to bring, you know, community minded and community focused people together, Linda, for the further education and in enhancing their knowledge base on how to serve community.
It's really it's the favorite. It's my favorite part of the work, right? It's really bringing people together because we get each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Sometimes the CRA officers are, you know, just a lonely group of folks within a very large bank that not right. everybody understands.
So. Right. Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, so Linda, why is it important for banks though to engage in, you know, those diversified CRA efforts and community development?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because even though we have the CRA, I really believe that banks do CRA-like activities because it's the right thing to do, right? So that's really the foundation. But the art of CRA is to really know your bank, know your community, and work to solve those local community development barriers that exist within our most fragile, disadvantaged communities. You know, you don't get to solve these deeply rooted issues overnight. It takes patience and many stakeholders and so many tools to really forge an impact. So I know you would agree, Ron, that this work is just so deeply personal. You know, this work in supporting, your work in supporting these treasured elders in our communities and partnerships with banks is, you know, it's such important work, and it takes balance and patience and so much more to do the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, I really encourage bankers to listen more than they talk, so to speak, right? And to really observe and to take in the grassroots perspectives to really inform their local approaches. And so when we get this right within a community, right, when we listen, when we partner with the right entities, we really all rise together, and it can render such tremendous and powerful impact. That is the work that I love, but you have to go about it many different ways.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I definitely appreciate, you know, your support and those kind words of what I do. And I definitely want to parallel and express that same thing for you, Linda, that the work that you do is not always the type of work that gets a lot of kudos and a lot of high mm-hmm. fives all the time.
It's,
it requires sometimes some long hours and some, some tough conversations. Sure. Yeah, you're exactly right that you have to have when in working in our industry create that synergy that allows us all to work together to solve real problems that we face all around our country. And so that's just tremendous. And as someone that grew up in a low to moderate income area, and now to be able to come back and work in that area and other areas around the country, for me in the Midwestern part of the United States, Linda, is just tremendous. Yeah. And it's just great to connect again with leaders in this space like yourself and be able to share this with our audience. It's just tremendous. Let's go.
Well, I love this work. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So let's look a little bit at CRA modernization for a bit. We know that's been a hot topic in the news, even during this pandemic. mm-hmm. And so what are your thoughts on, the regulators' involvement with CRA modernization? And what do you anticipate that's on the horizon around modernization that will ultimately impact community-focused banks and our communities at large?
Sure. Well, as an over 40-year regulation and movement, I do think that CRA remains a powerful tool and an opportunity to reinvest capital in resources in disadvantaged communities. So it is still an effective tool. The CRA does not need an overhaul. Sure, a few elements need to be refreshed, but not an overhaul, in my opinion. You know, I don't think an overhaul really renders more community impact, and especially during a time where our communities need more than ever tools and our complete focus on stabilization and rebuilding our local communities in hopefully the eventual wake of our COVID pandemic, right? I mean, the CRA was not broken, to sum it up. Well, there are some opportunities to adjust, and I hope that we'll have that opportunity going forward. So, of course, the OCC has enacted its approach and its course. And it's also not a matter of if, but it's really a matter of when our FRB and the FDIC finalizes their concepts and then vets it with the community for their feedback. I really do look forward to those opportunities to really just adjust the pieces of CRA that could use some refreshing and new approaches, like how do you define an assessment area when we have such breadth and depth of online channels, right, to doing the banking work that we do? The assessment area piece is huge, right? And I think the other piece that I really look forward to is further clarifying those activities within the CRA that may be in the spirit of CRA, but we can't necessarily count it based on the framework of the current CRA. So I think that there are some adjustments that we can make, and I really look forward to that opportunity, to share our thoughts and give really good feedback for the next iteration with the FRB and the FDIC.
Absolutely, Linda. And I agree with you that the ability for the community at large, for all of us to be able to provide our input, which we've been able to do to some extent or to and various extents kind of around the country, is to share feedback, share examples, things like that that can help with the framework. And again, we're talking about, you know, an act that was, you know, put into law from the Jimmy Carter administration. So in
1977.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we've all gone to bed and woke up a few times since then. And
to say the least.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for me, certainly, because I wasn't born until 1981. But but, you know, obviously, it's all good. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, you know, banking obviously has evolved tremendously. If you think from 1977 to 2020, what technology and you know, just the overall evolution of our landscape, what it, that has meant. And so, yeah, it it creates a opportunity for us to take a critical look at the regulation and adjust it to match and parallel that evolution that is taking place in the industry and that evolution that's taking place in our communities. Yep. So definitely. Yep. So
you know, it's funny. You know, I reflected the other day, Ron, about kind of how I started my CRA journey in 1994, and you know, I had that AOL dial up, and there was no social media, so it was such a different time. And fast forward to today, I mean, so many things have changed that there is no doubt in anyone's mind it's time to adjust. But honestly, we just don't need to start from the ground up. So many principles of the CRA stands today, right? And still are effective in supporting the needs of low to moderate income individuals and disadvantaged communities across the nation.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I wanted to ask you, because as we talk about this community effort, and obviously here in the United States, we have a lot of social injustice you know, issues, right, to say the least, particularly as they relate to, you know, gender. So for our women, as well as minority communities, including African-American communities. You know, Linda, you know, what can be done to encourage, you know, the support of women and minority-owned banks in the United States? You know, you notice that, you know, there are so few, you know, banks that are, that have board of directors with women and banks with, you know, C-suite, you know, individuals leading banks that are women and minorities, as well as, you know, minority-led banks at those levels as well. So, you know, what can be done to improve that and increase those numbers?
Yeah, well, as a woman-owned small business, I appreciate the question.
Absolutely.
I think we all need to really think globally, but act locally. A good friend of mine runs a minority-owned bank, and I'm always so proud of their collective work. Minority banks know and understand the culture of their local communities and are really able to provide customized products and services. They finance small businesses, make affordable housing loans. They revitalize community facilities. Of course, all the standard work of our community development initiatives. They also are able to provide financial literacy and technical assistance through partners to their customers, right? I mean, it's such a powerful tool. Our minority-owned banks are doing such amazing work. And the banks, of course, have the opportunity to see, to receive CRA credit, right? And the consideration for either direct investments or loan participation, or sometimes they can even share bank staff for certain resources or functions temporarily or longer term. And, you know, just so much more, information sharing, and really forge collaborative relationships that really raise everyone up so that everybody can forge that more of the community development impact, right? I mean, that's they're a huge tool for change. And I think that we, when given a choice, really need to consider the opportunities to partner and invest in these minority-owned banks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, something else that's always been in my heart and mind with that, to add on to what you're saying, Linda, is, you know, those career paths and, you know, helping, young girls and boys and across demographics, of course, but certainly in those the less represented demographics that are around the country, that banking is a great career path, and that banking has flexibility, and banking has it's not stiff, like as people think. People think it's just stiff, white shirt, red tie, blue suit, sit and I have you know what I mean? And there's no creativity.
To talk about that a little bit more, I really felt like I grew up professionally within my bank, right? I was afforded so many opportunities to train and learn and try different departments. And ultimately, you end up finding your fit. But it's such, banking is such a great place to consider throughout your career, either early on or later. It's just, it's great work.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that, obviously from my career. But I think to go along with that, Linda, one of the things that's benefited me is that I had mentors, and I was exposed to banking at an age where I was still very impressionable. And I was able to see people that looked like me working in the bank at all kinds of various levels. And so I was inspired by that. And I think as we do more of that and look to that inspiration, and again, there's opportunities for innovation, right? I mean, in the space that you and I work, there's opportunities for innovation. So it's not just as, again, I'll go back to my point before, it's not just about being a stiff in a suit, right? And just talking about debits and credits all day. There's a lot of, there's a lot of innovation that takes place in banking. Whether it's in marketing or whether it's in, the finance pieces of the bank, or even with what we're doing right now in podcasting, that's not something that, wasn't typically a part of the banking industry, right? Even just a few years ago.
Right.
Whereas now it has, it's penetrated as a way for banks and bankers to connect with their customers and prospects. And so, I think that as we showcase more of that innovation, and then that tie to the mission, whereas you and I are in mission-based areas connected with community banking. And I think many people have that heart and that passion for the community-based edification pieces of what banking can represent. And I think as we showcase more of that, more people from a younger age or in career transition, as you mentioned, Linda, will be open to entering the banking industry and bring their innovation and their experiences that really just help grow that diversity and will help make the industry that much better when you add in that diverse approach and those diverse experiences.
Right, those digital natives, right? Yeah. We have so much to learn, right? And they're going to change the way we bank and we interact going forward. And I think, obviously the banking industry is a great platform that is evolving, daily. So, I can't wait to inspire and, give the next generation of bankers the opportunity. Yeah. And of course, I'm partial that everybody should consider community development to position in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the great thing about banking is no matter what your role in banking is, part of your role is community development. And that's something that I always stressed it when I was in the retail function. I would always be in meetings and people thought that working with the general public was just a function of retail or marketing. And I'd always stress that everyone at the bank has a community development hat that they should wear as well. In the back office, because we all are here to serve people and to serve the community and to make things better for individuals, for families, as well as the community as a whole. And so when we all take that mindset, things tend to flow very well. And the bank represents that staple in the community. For driving development.
That's right.
So, absolutely.
And I think sometimes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I think sometimes that we lose that, right? I think that that's always a challenge, is to really build the culture within the bank so that everybody understands their unique role or the potential impact they might have in a CRA program, whether the volunteer efforts or the back office data integrity piece, or just being a part of our community, because the stronger our community is, the stronger our bank is, and vice versa, right? So there's always, it's just sharing the good word within the bank, right? And really connecting the dots for them, because it is powerful. And once they see their role in it, then you can really engage so many more people in your pursuits, right? Which can be powerful.
Yep, absolutely, without question. And so, Linda, as what's next for this the CRA Today and the CRA Hub? You know, you've got great initiatives, great endeavors that you are engaging in and that you're leading, quite frankly. So what's next? Obviously, we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. So it's hard to have the crystal ball as to what may come next, or how that may impact community banking and communities at large. But, you know, what's kind of up next for you and for CRA Today and the CRA Hub?
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting because the pandemic, one of the silver linings, there are many that I choose to focus on instead of all of the, you know, heart-wrenching pain that we see daily. You know, one of the silver linings is more people are open to engaging online, right? And they're learning how to do their Zooms for the first time. And, you know, they're learning how to interact on our digital platforms, right, that can further connect us. So I think it's an incredible opportunity. So CRA Today's flagship initiative is really the CRA Hub. And it's open for enrollment later this month. We open and close it periodically to make sure that our new group of members are orientated and can navigate the portal with all of the information that's in there, and then they get to know the resources, and most importantly, they get to know their colleagues in kind of a cohort of sorts. So the bankers really join for the impact on their CRA programs, but they stay for the community. It really is a special group of CRA professionals. You know, we're kind of a unique group of people. So it's nice when we get together, right? Because we get it, you know, we get each other. So the CRA Hub is actually my focus and my opportunity to give back and to connect people and to build the foundation of CRA knowledge, so that then we can get out into the communities and do the great work that, quite frankly, we all need to be doing to aid in stabilization and recovery. So that's definitely one thing we're focusing lots of our resources on. The next is we'll be offering some master courses on the fundamentals of CRA, and that'll be released later this year, all video-based, all online, awesome. All on demand, with guides and whatnot. And it really sets the foundation for those new professionals or the compliance officers that have been doing this work for 20 years, but then they find themselves to be, you know, granted the CRA program for whatever reason. So, you know, I really, the Hub is one platform, but then we have these master courses that lay the foundation so that you can get up to speed quickly, or any new members. And then we also continue to partner with other CRA leaders in our industry, and we will be offering more traditional and more training opportunities and webinars. And, you know, I just love this work and look forward to leading more and deploying more capacity building initiatives over the years. So I'm just getting started.
Yeah, I love that. Just getting started. That's tremendous, Linda. And, you know, you talked earlier just about, you know, with kind of CRA overall and some of the CRA efforts. And of course, you know, with the efforts that I do with CRA partners, with our entire team, you've
such great work.
That. Yeah, exactly. You've experienced, this with a family member around elder abuse. And that's just become, yeah. You know, based on the CDC, almost $3 billion last year was lost to, you know, financial elder abuse that took place, which is just, you know, unfortunate to say the least, right? But you've experienced this in your family with, you know, elder abuse. And so would you care to share that?
Sure, of course. You know, it's part of my extended family. And I, you know, the predators, the electronic predators, I don't know what you really call them, but it felt that way to me, that they are very sophisticated now, and that they find such unique ways to, you know, engage with our most vulnerable. And even if they're super smart, right? These techniques, if you don't know what's behind it through phishing or, you know, the masked websites, it's a whole scary world of risk, right? And, and you know, one of my dear friends just got caught. And, you know, it was interesting because you tend to be like, oh my God, once you realize it's a scam, you're almost a little embarrassed. But the reality is they shouldn't be, because they're so sophisticated. Many times I've had to stop myself because I was on the brink of doing just the same, right? Wow. They are so sophisticated now. And I get it. And I was thankful that I was able to step in and add a little value and reverse. And so there was no financial impact, but it could have been very, very serious and have a huge impact in the livelihood of my dear extended family member. So I get the work that you're doing, and I'm so thankful that there's entities such as yours that are fighting the good fight, because we need more of you to really protect our most revered elders in our communities, those that we love so much. So
absolutely.
Thank you for the work that you do.
Yeah, well, we definitely appreciate that, Linda. And, you know, again, that's the heart of our mission, is protecting those great matriarchs and patriarchs and family members, quite frankly, as unfortunately, the
powerful stuff.
The more unscrupulous members of our community, unfortunately, look to do that. And so we'll be here, as well as other entities, to, again, you know, work with our community banking industry and the healthcare industry. And the regulatory industry, for that matter, to ensure that we protect, again, those you know, community members who helped build communities to where they are today, and will lay the groundwork for all the work that you and I and many others do in the future as that comes about. So, Linda, how can people connect with CRA Today and the CRA Hub? For those that are enjoying what they're hearing and want to get involved, how can they do so?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. You can definitely go to cratoday.com or cratoday.com/hub. I'm sure you'll be able to add those into the show notes, right?
Absolutely.
And anyone can feel free to email me at linda@cratoday.com. And I'm on all of the social media channels. So, you know, I'm trying to find many different ways for folks to interface with me and to join me in our pursuit of community development. And I just love this work. So, you know, I really feel like the CRA Hub is serving a unique need, and especially since we're not able to get together in person right now, you know, more than ever, it is a platform to connect and to share and to support each other through this, because our communities need us. So. Yeah, so cratoday.com is the starting place with all the links.
Yep, absolutely. And it's a great website and a great resource, I've had a chance to go through and read it and check out the content and connect with you there. It's just tremendous. And I encourage our audience to do the same.
I also have a little CRA podcast too, so.
Yes, I was going, I want to ask you about that.
You know, because
personally, I love all podcasters. And so why don't you shout out your podcast and share with us a little bit about what it's about and what we can expect?
Well, sure. The CRA podcast, you know, I created a couple of years ago just because I was learning more about podcasts and I'm like, hey, there's no community development podcast back in the day. So I decided to create one because I believe in it, right? And just feel like the more conversations we can have around this space, the more we can attract new stakeholders and new innovators, right? And to understand our world, because our world is a little unique. So, you know, I'm trying to highlight and keep it very diverse in terms of some of our industry leaders. I talked about opportunity zones in the beginning with Maurice Jones of LISC. You know, Mark Pinsky used to be with OFN and, you know, very involved in the CDFI sector as a, you know, a sector representative. You know, we've talked about CRA reform and impact investing, which is so exciting and so much more to dive into there too. And, you know, talk about modernization. So I'm also talking about diversity, inclusion, and CDFIs with my next episode. So I'm in the middle of planning and recording that this month. So, excellent. Yeah, so I do it. I try to do it quarterly or semi-annually. It's definitely something that I care about, but it's also not as frequent as some other podcasts, but I love it just the same and hope it'll add value.
Yeah, absolutely. And so where can we find it? For those that are interested and want to go and listen to it, Linda, where can we go and find
those episodes? Sure, it's CRAtoday.com/CRA-podcast. So we'll put those in the show notes as well. But if you go to my CRAtoday.com, you can navigate to it. I actually host the audio files on my website. So you can certainly go to all of your favorite places to listen to podcasts, but you can also listen on your desktop through the website. So.
Excellent. And that's a great way to wrap this up. Linda, is your podcast, it just adds to the amplification of your voice in this space as you work and I work and our organizations work along with community banking again to edify communities all around this country. So yes. Linda Izuka is our guest today, founder of CRA Today and the CRA Hub. Linda, this has been tremendous, a tremendous dialogue. Thank you so much and best wishes to you and your family as we go forward and look forward to remaining connected.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Ron. I really appreciate the opportunity and I look forward to seeing you sometime in person and around town, if you will say.
Yes, so, exactly.
Best of luck to you. And thank you so much for, again, the opportunity.
Yep, absolutely, Linda. Thank you. Take care.